2 Samuel chapter 23, and then look in verse 13. And the Bible says, "And 3 of the 30 chief went down and came to David in the harvest time unto the cave of Adullam. And the troop of the Philistines pitched in the valley of Rephidim. And David was then in an hold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, Oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. And the 3 mighty men brake through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. And he said, Be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives? And therefore he would not drink it. And these things did these 3 mighty men." You can be seated this morning. Heavenly Father, we come to you today. We thank you for giving us another opportunity to be in your house. I pray as we preach, I pray that you would strengthen each one. I pray you'd strengthen us and help us. And guard our mind and our thoughts this morning. I pray you'd touch us and anoint us afresh. And give us unction from the Holy One, as the Bible says. And Lord, that if there's one lost, that they might get saved. That they'd see you and come to you and trust you. Help the one that needs help today. And Lord, we'll certainly give you the glory. Let folks' hearts be very attentive in that to the Word of God today. We love you and we thank you now. I ask you to save that sinner's nearest tail for these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, to understand what's going on in this chapter right here, David is actually at the end of his life. If you look back in verse 1 of this chapter, it says, "Now these be the last words of David." And so he's coming down to the end of times right here, and you'll find out, look what the Bible actually calls him. It calls him the son of Jesse, the man who was raised on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel. And some pretty good names and that to be called. I believe God loved David and David loved God. And you can read on down through here in this chapter how that David had exalted the Lord. He spoke of the covenant that God had made with him. But then he begins, or this scripture begins to talk about the mighty men that served with and under David. It talked about some of their feats and some of their battles that they went through. And I mean, it even talks about how that one man over there, Eleazar, in verse 9, the son of Dodo the Ahohite, one of the 3 mighty men with David, when they defied the Philistines that were gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away, he arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword, and the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. And it tells stories about men that fought in this passage of Scripture. And what he's telling us is about a time when these 3 great men that served with David, when he talked about wanting a drink of water, that went out and went through the line of the Philistines over there in Bethlehem to get him that drink of water. But we learn something about David in this story right here. As David notices, he says that he was in the cave at Adullam. If you know anything about David's life, they just tell a little story here about David in times past is what it's telling. And if you know anything about David's life, you'll find out that David spent some time in that cave. We'll go back and we'll read in 1 Samuel 22 here in a little bit. But he spent time there, and the Bible calls it being in the hold in his life.
And so he was in the hold. He was down in the cave of Adullam. And I don't know if this was the time when King Saul had him on the run and he was hid out in the cave. I don't know if this is the time that you'll find a time when he had been anointed king again, and they made him king. And the Philistines got after him, and he goes down to the cave to hide out. And I don't know if this is the time that it's referring to, but I really believe that what David is talking about right here, when the Bible said that, and David longed and said, "Oh, that one would give me a drink of water, the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." I don't believe that David was really thirsty. And maybe he was. I don't know. And I don't want to preach something that ain't there. But I want you to stay with me. If you know anything about the geography over there, what I could learn is that cave was just about 4 miles south and that of Bethlehem. He's just a little outside of Bethlehem. And he says there's a spring that is even there at that cave. So it seems to me that if he was thirsty, he would go to that well and drink that was there with that spring. But you must remember that David grew up in Bethlehem. And that was his hometown. And you know, it's called the City of David, ain't it? And David is sitting over here in this cave, and I really believe that he's been put on the run either by King Saul or by the Philistines, or it's one time in his battles when he's back to that hold, and he's remembering a better time. And if I could preach for just a minute, I want to preach having a thought on when your roses will bloom again. Number one, if I could say that he remembered that better time. He grew up in Bethlehem. He shepherded in Bethlehem. It was where God anointed him by Samuel. There in Bethlehem that God anointed him to be king, and that over Israel. I believe David had some fond memories and some good memories of some things that happened back at home when he was younger, and how that God met with him. And no doubt how that he learned to trust God and look to God during all these times. And here he sits in this cave. And he said, "Oh, that I could get a drink of water from the well of Bethlehem." How many of us have ever in our life, in hard times and bad times, would remember to think back and would think back and say, "Boy, I wish that it was this time here and not like it is." And I don't want to talk you into nothing bad. If you're in a good time, you stay in a good time. And don't let me talk you into a bad time. And if you've had bad times and are in a good time now, that's great. You stay there as long as you can. But you may not be in that place this morning. I don't know where folk are. But I know this, that David, I believe that he was remembering back to an earlier time when things was better. I mean, think with me for just a minute. I mean, David had fought battle after battle. The first time we see David, it's when Samuel anoints him to be king over there at Jesse's house. And the next time we see him's in 1 Samuel 17, and he's fighting the giant. He steps out on the scene. He's a young man. He's 16, 17, 18 years old. Saul calls him a youth. I remember that when he goes out to fight against Goliath. He said, "But thou art a youth." And he's been a man of war since his youth. As a matter of fact, when David goes out and wins the battle, Saul wants to know whose stripling that is. And that means he was just a young man. David has fought the battle with the lion and the bear and won. David has fought the battle and that with the giant and won. I mean, he can think back to some good times. Listen, he's the king's son-in-law. I mean, he married one of the king's daughters. He's over men in the king's army. He goes out and he fights and he wins every battle that he fights. But yet now David is sitting in the cave.
Think about this for just a second. Don't let me lose you. He's had victory after victory. They sung songs about David. How that Saul killed his thousands, but David killed his 10,000s. They sung songs about him. Anybody ever sing a song about you? I don't think anybody's ever sung a song about me. Might have been bad. I don't know. But now David's in the hold. There was a day when trouble first came that Saul began to hate David. I mean, God had told old Saul that he was going to tear the kingdom away from him, rent the kingdom away, and he was going to give it to his neighbor, a man that was after his own heart, and Saul knew that it was a David. And the first time David really ever gets on the run from King Saul, I was thinking about this early this morning as I was looking over this. I thought about the very first time that he ran from King Saul and got away from him. I mean, left because Jonathan told him to go. And he ran and he got away. And he's just got a few men with him. He don't even have a sword. And he comes to where the priest was. And they're hungry. And all the priest has is holy bread, the show bread. And he gives him some of that. And David says, "Do you have a weapon here?" And the only weapon that the priest had, he said, "The only weapon I've got here is the sword of Goliath, whom you killed." And David said, "Give it me, for there's none like it." Now, why do you think that it's set up that way? He said, "Well, that's just the way that it turned out." No, I don't think so. I think as David is on the run, I thank God I wanted him to remember a great victory. I mean, think about it for just a minute. Think about it. I mean, have you ever been in a place to where your roses are not blooming, the sun is not shining, wintertime has come, you're in the valley, you're climbing the mountain, you're fighting the storm, whatever we call it as Baptists, have you ever been there? And then all of a sudden, God reminds us of some great thing He done for us. And David said, "Give it me, for there's none like it." I believe that sword stood about that high. Something about like that. Can you imagine? David was a ruddy youth and he was a young man. I don't know how old he was when Saul had him on the run. But can you imagine David wielding that sword? So David gets over in the cave of Adullam. Take your Bible and go back to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 22. David has been a great fighter. Fought battle after battle and won. And seemed like that it was easy to fight those battles. Seemed like that he would win every battle that he went out and that to face. In 1 Samuel chapter 22, and the Bible verse 1, "And David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brethren, all his father's house, heard it, they went down thither to him. And everyone that was in distress," now pay attention right here, "everyone that was in distress and everyone that was in debt and everyone that was discontented, I gathered themselves unto him and he became captain over them and there were with him about 400 men." Now David had been a captain in Saul's army. He knew what it meant to lead men. He understood that. But did you see these men right here? Did you see who he had as men that was with him? He had men that were in distress. He had men that were in debt. He had men that were discontented. And it's up to him to be their captain. Now he's going to have to go fight now. Do you realize that the lifetime that he fought, Saul financed the war? Think about that. I got to think about this morning too. Saul financed the war when he would go fight. Saul's kingdom fed them while they were out. Saul took care of them when they would fight. But now all this lays on David's shoulders. And he's sitting over in the cave of Adullam. And he sometime in his life
somewhere between, we'll say 18 and 30 years old, because he becomes king at 30 years old. We'll deal with that here in a minute. See, the roses do bloom again, by the way. Somewhere between 18 and 30 years old, he's sitting in this cave. And he's wondering, I have no doubt about the future. And he's looked back at where he's at right now. And he says, oh, if I could just get a drink of water from the well of Bethlehem. If I could go back to when it was a better time. It's hard to understand David's train of thought sometimes. David loved the Lord, I have no doubt of that. And David wanted to serve God, but if you ever read anything about David, he was up here for 1 second, and he was down here for another second. You ought to read about him and understand what's going on in his life. As a matter of fact, take your Bible and go to the book of Psalms, chapter 57. Is this mic on right here, son? It ain't, is it? Look in Psalms chapter 57. My Bible tells me this is when he has fled. In the introduction to it here under the chapter heading, this is a time when he was in the cave that he had fled from Saul. And in verse 1 he says, be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee, yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these what? Until what? These calamities be overpassed. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among the lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. O, my soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves. Selah. My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up, my glory, awake, psaltery at heart. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations, for thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. As David cries out to the Lord, sitting in this hole over here, sitting in this cave as he's on the run from King Saul. And he says, Lord, he says, all these calamities upon me, I'm going to trust you. But all these calamities have fell upon me. He talks about wanting to praise the Lord, and that he will praise the Lord. And that he said, I will cry unto God Most High, unto the God that performeth all these things. Talks about how that he will send from heaven. But then he says in verse 4, my soul is among lions. He's going to praise the Lord, but yet they're still after him. Can I tell us this morning that one of the best things that we can do when it seems like the world is against us, is to just praise the Lord. When it seems like that Satan is out and that after us and that he's going to devour us, is just praise the Lord. And David's sitting in a cave. Can you imagine being in the cave? It's dark in the cave. When I read about this cave, they said there was different rooms in that thing, great rooms in it that would have been well more than two. Hold those 600 men. Can you imagine all of them being in there? You find another time in Psalms 142, the Bible tells us that this is a prayer of David when he was in the cave. And he said, I cried unto the Lord with my voice unto the Lord did I make supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walk, in the way wherein I have walked, have they privately
laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. He ain't in a good spot, is he? If you're in a good spot, good. Stay there. As long as you can. I cried unto them. Let me park right here and say this just for a second. I go to preacher's fellowship sometimes. And I listen to them, and I can remember back in 2016, 17, and part of 18, and they would talk about some of the troubles they've had at the church and all the hard times. You know, you put a bunch of us preachers together, man, we're poor mouthing and moaning about everything a lot of times. You know, you got to learn preachers sometimes. I called a preacher friend of mine. He had been in camp meeting all week. I called him, just wanted to take him out for lunch. And when he got back from the camp meeting, he was worried to death something had happened, you know. I said, brother, ain't nothing happened. I just want to take you out to lunch. Well, I've been in that camp meeting over there, and I've heard so much this past week. I tell you, camp meeting is supposed to revive us and regenerate us, not beat us down. Amen. And I would sit and I would listen to those men talk, and I'd say, boy, I think in my mind, boy, I'm glad we ain't where they are. But then all of a sudden, sometimes you get to where they are. I mean, I'd sit there on the pew and I'd think to myself, boy, I'm glad everything's going good at the church. You couldn't ask for nothing better to be going on where we are. God's coming by. God's visiting. Folk are coming. We've seen folk get saved. Got to baptize a few along the way. And everything's going good. And I'd sit there and I'd think, boy, I feel for them. But I ain't where they are. I think, boy, how good it is. But you know, then sometimes you slip off into that cave. And David, in verse 5, he went on to say, I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. David didn't say God was doing those things. He said he would do those things. He's in the cave right now. He don't feel, hey, listen, I really believe that in this psalm when he's in the cave right here. I mean, he is in a place. I mean, he's pouring his complaint out. Hey, it's overwhelming him. It's more than he is. He feels like he's all alone. Why do we feel that way? Can I ask you, church, why do we feel alone sometimes? Do you feel alone sometimes? Am I the only one that feels that way, that in the service to the Savior, Master, the Lord Jesus Christ, that I feel alone sometimes? And I wonder what's happening. And even though that I know what the book says, that He will never leave me nor forsake me. John 14 and 18 is very plain when He said, I will not leave you comfortless, but I will come unto you. I believe all that. I believe Galatians 2 and 20 where he said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ what? Liveth within me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I believe he resides on the inside. I believe he's in here. But why do we feel alone tonight? I believe David felt so forsaken when he'd get in that cave and he would run and he would hide out and wintertime had failed. David is struggling. And I believe in the text scripture, boy, he just notice in verse 15 of the text, and David longed. He just longed. Longed for things to be better. Longed for God to come by and show up. In Psalms chapter 63, and I've blowed this message all apart, it'd be alright. Psalms chapter 63, you know what he says over there? He says, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. He said, God, he's hiding out in this cave, and I don't know where he's at. I believe he's in the wilderness of Judah right here in these verses. And you know what he wanted to do? He wanted to see God come by. You ever seen God come by? Now, I'm talking about God come by. Now, I'm talking about just not God coming by in the meeting. I'm talking about when God come by and twisted on your heart. I'm talking about when God come by the night or the day that you got saved. I'm talking about the night or the day after you were saved that God began to work in your life. I'm talking about when you'd get alone by yourself in your prayer closet, in your prayer room, and God would just do something for you. You ever seen God do that? I'm talking about when He'd answer your prayers. I'm talking about when He would just come by and make Himself real out of you and shine on you and smile on you and let you know that He's real. And all those things have been there. I have. I'm glad I know He's real and that He's real in my life. Boy, I appreciate the Lord this morning. I don't know if He's helping you, but He's helping me. I hope you're getting help. Don't look at me now like that. If you ain't ever had no help from God, it ain't God's fault this morning. I'm telling you right now, these times He'll come by and He'll do things for you. Has He not ever done anything for you that you didn't even ask Him to do? But because He loved you, He blessed you, and He's helped you and He's took care of you. Listen this morning, church. I'm telling you, David. I wanted to see God come by. He said that I could see your power and your glory. He said, Lord, I want to see you like I've seen you over there in the sanctuary when you shined and when you smiled in your glory and your power. Hey, I've seen Him come by in this building before. And do things that there's no way that the preacher could do. You know, I ask God to do that. I ask God, I'll say, Lord, would you please do something I can't do? I'll see, if I feel like I've done it, then I feel like I've accomplished it, and it'll be no good. It'll be for naught. But I'm telling you, if God does something that I can't do. You know, I can stand down here and beg you to come to this altar. I've listened to preachers almost say, if you got a mama, you need to come to this altar. I mean, I've about been there in them meetings, you know. I mean, just begging and pleading just somebody to come. No. No, if you need to come, I want you to come. If you need to come and get saved, I'll beg and plead with you all day and all night to come and get saved. And if you need help, I'll beg and plead with you how to come and get help. But I'm just not looking for numbers, and I'm not looking for people. I'd have just come to satisfy my mind and my conscience and my ego so that folk would come. But David said, Lord, I sure would like to see your power. Some of you all can think back to times when you've seen God come by. Some of y'all can think back to church meetings when God showed up. Blow to you. I remember one night we was in the prayer room, and I remember I encouraged the men. I said, men, let's just make the Lord welcome to our service tonight while we pray. And I remember that's what we prayed. And in earnest and in honesty, we prayed that. And you know what? God came by that night. I ain't never forgot that. And I remember standing back there at that back door, shaking hands on the way out. And Brother Tom, he came by and he shook my hand. And he said, well, the Lord answered our prayer. And I had no idea what he was talking about. He was already gone, you know. I said, what are you talking about, brother? He said, well, we welcome the Lord to our service. And he come by. Hey, something to that tonight. I'm telling you, if you'll ask God to come out. David, I believe he did. I believe when he said, Lord, would you please let me see your power and your glory. I believe Miss Sarah seen him just a little bit this morning. That blessed my heart. Well, he is the best thing that's ever happened to us. He wanted to see God move, and he wanted to see God work. How many of us ever think back? Now, this is where we get in trouble at. We kind of get like David sometimes. And we get in a bad spot and the sun ain't shining. And our roses ain't blooming. And we say, oh, that we could get a drink of water from the well of Bethlehem. I'm not faulting David. I'm not faulting him at all. Well, I'll tell you what, church. Some of y'all might remember this, might not remember it. But while we were remodeling this building here, we met over there. Some of the best meetings we ever had was over there. Almost makes you want to go back over there. But there's nothing special in that building, by the way, other than the fact that we went over there to meet. And what makes this building special here is it's been set aside to meet. But I can remember preaching one night over there and give the altar call, Brother Marvin. And I know it's not as wide as it is in here, but that thing's 25 feet wide? 25 feet wide. And I can remember looking out when I got done preaching and giving the altar call. I can remember looking across and people was just up there weeping and crying across the front of that altar and was actually down the hallway praying. I've never seen that in my life before. Now, I know we were over in that building. I get that. I understand that. But don't you long and yearn to see for God to do something for somebody else, but most definitely do something for you. Boy, I long for that. I long for God to come by and just move like we've seen Him move before. You know what gets us in that place sometimes to where where it just seems like God ain't moving? That may be sin. And I stay with me now. I know what time it is. Stay with me. It may be sin. And if it is, then you need to deal with it. And it may be that you've grown cold on the Lord. I'm going to be honest with you. The past two and a half years, that what we have faced as far as in our nation and in our world, it seems like that those things have just bombarded the mind of not everybody, but not only of everybody, but of all Christians. That we've been bombarded by it. And the world has got a foothold in our mind and in our heart. And what we've started to do is slowly grow cold on God. But sometimes it's really none of those things. By this time, David is, no doubt he's battle-hardened. He's had to fight. David's not the same man that he was at 16, 18, and 20 years old. He's fought. And he's battled. You know, he goes out there to meet Goliath with a sling, a shepherd's staff, and five smooth stones. But he went in the name of the Lord. But now David is held up in the cave. I think that David looked and he knew in his heart and in his mind that God hadn't left him. But he sure did feel that way. It may feel like God has quit smiling on you and that your roses has quit blooming. But they have not. I want you to understand something about David and his life. You know, when David became 30 years old, he got to be king. He got to get out of the hold. He got to get out of the cave. Now, he had to keep fighting, but now he's king. And God, do you realize something, though? That all these times, let me stop right here and say this. That all these times when he's in this cave, and all these times when he's fighting these battles on the run from Saul and having to fight other people at the same time. Well, he's just got enemies everywhere. Now, you know that David would talk to the Lord and the Lord talked back to him. You know, he got down to the city of Keilah down there. And you know what he done? He said, Lord, is Saul going to come down here to Keilah and try to get me? And the Lord said, David, yeah, he is. Lord, talk to him. David said, well, Lord, said, will the men of Keilah give me over to King Saul? And the Lord said, yeah, they will. You know what David done? He packed his bags and he got out of town. But you know what? The Lord was still talking to him. But yet David would write those psalms and go sit in the cave and hold up in the cave and wonder what was going on. Don't make sense, does it? It's a roller coaster ride, wasn't it? Life's a roller coaster ride sometimes, ain't it? Some of you all ain't got a clue what I'm talking about, but some of you do this morning. I'm not wanting to talk you into something that you are not, but I'm telling you right now that there come a day that David got out of that cave. I believe he was 30 years old when they made him king. And that over, you realize that he was made king over Judah, and for seven and a half years, he was king over Judah. And Abner was the one that kind of got everything put together. And Abner, you know, was King Saul's right-hand man and kind of put things together for David to come and be over of all Israel. And David was made. What did he do? He reigned, what was it, seven and a half years in Hebron, and he reigned the rest of the time. When he reigned for 40 years, he reigned the rest of the time in Jerusalem. David got to be king. Now, let me tell you something. When his roses bloomed again, the Lord smiled on him. The Lord blessed him. But he still had battles and fights, even after that. I don't know where you're at this morning. Fellas, just be getting a subversive invitation. Brother Marvin, you come to the piano. Brother Jeff, get a song. You'll be working toward that. But I don't know where you're at this morning. I don't know if you're in the cave. I don't know if you're fighting the battle. I don't know if your roses have, you feel like that they've quit blooming. And all you want is God to come by and smile on you. And some of you are thinking back, boy, if I could just get back to a better time, if I could just have a better time, get back to here. Listen. Listen, one thing David would do, he'd say, Lord, I know you're still there. I know you're still watching me. And go back and read them psalms over there when he was in that cave. He would say, Lord, I know you're there. And I'm going to praise you. They're after me, but I'm going to praise you. Let's bow our heads this morning, church. You may feel like your roses has quit blooming. Go ahead and start playing when you get ready. That'll be fine. You may feel like that your roses has quit blooming and that God has quit smiling on you. I don't know where you're at. I don't know where you're at this morning. You may be like me back in a few years back. I listened to preachers preaching and say, boy, I'm glad I ain't there about what he's talking about. That may be where you're at this morning. I don't know what you need, but boy, God does. Maybe this morning you don't know the Lord. Maybe you've never trusted Him to come into your heart. You can come get saved this morning. Church, I want you to understand something this morning. Lord ain't going to leave you and He ain't going to forsake you.